Open your Bibles, if you would. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, we'll begin tonight looking at the life of Moses. As we've endeavored to give a big, broad picture, have a Bible survey time, we've felt impressed to bring you the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and how that God works so specifically in their lives, and how that God literally and physically manifested himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and told them and kept reinforcing to them, I'm going to make you a great nation. Your seed is going to inherit this land. And it's going to be a great number of people and a great nation. So we've been looking at the history of national Israel. Been looking at the history of humanity before that, from Genesis chapter 1 to 11. And now our attention turns to, I kept saying Hebrew history, and now we'll be looking at national Israel's history. As they were down there in Egypt, and they went, remember, in with 70, and in a relatively short period of time, that 70 multiplied to such a place that the king that rose up after Pharaoh, the Pharaoh that had elevated Joseph to second in command of all of Egypt, shortly after they died, a king rose up and said, these Hebrew children over here in Goshen, there's so many of them, they're going to overrun us. We've got to try to put them down. We've got to try to put them under rigorous labor. And when that didn't do anything, they started trying to murder the male children. And they called all the midwives into the presence of Pharaoh, and they said, now when you're delivering these children do not come away from that mother alive if it's a male child. You just ponder on that a minute and think of the horror that the midwives must have thought, felt. What do you want me to do? A healthy baby boy and just suffocated, or some other way of taking its life? The Bible tells us that they feared God more than they feared Pharaoh, and they wouldn't do it. So we have this edict from, nonetheless, even though they did fear God, we still have this command by Pharaoh to kill the male children. And we read at the end of chapter 1, verse 22, Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. The midwives wouldn't listen, so he made a general command. Kill them. Murder them. Can't have this number of people taking over. Well, chapter 2 comes along, and a couple of people got together, and husband and wife, Amram and Jochebed. Amram's the father, Jochebed's the mother. You can read that in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20. Their names are listed for us. Amram and Jochebed. And you can go to 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 3, and you'll find out that his sister is Miriam. And these three play a very interesting role. Jochebed has this child. In chapter 2, there went out a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. That is not described here, but it's Amram and Jochebed. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister, now that's Miriam, stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. So you have this little plan. Mom says, you know what, I'm gonna put the baby in the basket, and I've made it waterproof, and I'm going to put it in the edge of the river. And Miriam stands off in a distance. And the plan was to have Pharaoh's have it in proximity to where Pharaoh's daughter would come out with her entourage and bathe in the river. And most believe Miriam to be very young at this time, early teens. And so they wouldn't be suspicion that it was her baby. And Miriam is there along the edge watching this scene. And the plan works out about like they'd conceived it. We read on. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down, I'm in verse 5. Daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister, Miriam, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." So the plan of Jochebed, well, the plan of God worked, obviously, it always does. And he put it in the heart of Jochebed to put that baby there where Pharaoh's daughter might find it, and to have Miriam right there. And then when they found it, Miriam just innocently walks up and says, "Would you like me to go find a Hebrew woman to nurse the child?" And Pharaoh's daughter said, "You know, that's a good idea. Go get one. You happen to know one?" "Yeah, probably do." She goes, gets her mom. And mom and Moses are introduced, so to speak, reacquainted. And she gets to nurse her child and see it raised to some level of maturity. I don't know what. And the plan worked well. Moses is being prepared. This whole scene is a scene of preparation. This child that is saved by Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter adopts it. And Pharaoh's blessing is upon this child, and he seems to be heir apparent of the throne one day. Verses 11 through 15 of this text, here in Exodus chapter 2, it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their burdens. Now, you know, notice that verse 11. He went out to his brethren. He knew who he was. He knew. He went out to his brethren. He looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and said unto him, and he said unto him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedst the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. In Acts chapter 7, we learn that this period of time is 40 years. Moses' life is broken up into three very distinct 40-year periods. Acts chapter 7 tells us that. If you're taking notes, Acts chapter 7, verses 17 through 29 are very specific about the first 40 years. How that he was raised at Pharaoh's feet. How that he was trained by the best of the best that Pharaoh had to offer. The thinking is that probably Moses sort of thought he was all that. That he had a very self-confident opinion of himself. He'd been raised by the best that Pharaoh had to offer. He'd been schooled by the best that Pharaoh had to offer. He was heir apparent to the throne of Pharaoh. The traditional thinking is he was very self-confident and seemed to have an inkling as to what God was going to do with him, but his timetable was way off. And I noticed that Moses looked this way and that to see if anybody was looking, but he didn't appear to look up and say, is this the right time? Is this the right thing? Moses was in a time of preparation. He'd learned from the best, and he'd learned to be somebody for 40 years. Now he's going to go to the backside of the desert and learn to be nobody for 40 years. Just out there tending sheep. Just Moses and the sheep in the family. But it's a time of preparation. I notice here too that it would seem as though the children of Israel weren't quite ready yet to jump on the let's get out of here bandwagon. That comes a little bit later. So the Pharaoh wants Moses' head. Moses flees. Verse 16 through 22. Now the prince of Midian had seven daughters. Remember, he went to Midian and sat down by a well there in verse 15. The prince of Midian had seven daughters. They came to drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, How is it that you are come so soon today? And they said, An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. Now this was utterly amazing. This Egyptian would do this. They perceived him to be an Egyptian. And you think about the picture there around that well. Moses had seen enough oppression to last him a lifetime. Moses had seen enough domination to last him a lifetime. Well, these seven daughters take their flock up to the well to water them, and the other shepherds bully him around a little bit. Moses is enough, you know. And he goes to bat for them and defends them and waters their flocks. And their dad says, How'd you get home so quick today? This Egyptian guy. Who? This Egyptian guy. He defended us, and then he watered the flock. And it says that, verse 20, he said unto his daughters, And where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. So Moses goes to Midian. The Bible's going to record that he's on the backside of the desert in the next chapter. And he begins his 40-year schooling at the feet of the Lord. He'd had 40 years at the feet of Pharaoh. Now he's going to have 40 years at the feet of the Lord. And I'm not trying to be too hard on him, but I believe the first 40 years taught him to be somebody, and the Lord's going to teach him to be nobody. We don't like to think about it, but we're but dust. And when we lose sight of the fact that we're but dust, and we start to say, now wait a minute, I deserve this and I deserve that, we're in trouble. We're going down a road that's not good. And so Moses is about to learn this. Now this is the most silent 40-year section of Moses' life. I think that's for a good reason. This is between God and Moses. Again, Acts chapter 7, verses 30 through 34 tell us that this is a 40-year period in the desert with God and the sheep and the wife and family. Again, Moses is in preparation, but look at verse 23, the next verse in our text. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Meanwhile, that 40 years that Moses in the backside of the desert, that king that wanted his head died, and the children of Israel grew increasingly eager to get out of Egypt. They were being prepared as well. It's like a saint that is suffering at the end of their life. And that person is being prepared to be graduated from this life to the next. And the older one gets and the more that one suffers, the more glorious the Lord's feet look. And that time of preparation, that time of getting us ready, that time where we say, I'm just ready to go home. I'm just ready to just go home. Nothing here for me anymore. The children of Israel were in this time of preparation, and they're saying, I'm just ready to get out of here. I just got to get out of here. And so they made their cry unto God, and God heard their cry. Now, Exodus chapter 3 begins the next 40 years of Moses' life. Now, chapter 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard by their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. So God tells Moses, now's the time. Maybe you had some kind of ideas about this 40 years ago, but now's the time. You have spent 40 years at Pharaoh's feet. You have spent 40 years at my feet. Now you're ready for 40 years of service. It's interesting. We want to be on the front line of the Lord's battle right now. We don't want to have to go through anything. We don't want to have to do any maturing. A lot of times we want to just be right out there. And so many times we get ahead of the Lord just like Moses did. He wasn't ready. Then we get discouraged and we quit altogether. Moses was in preparation for 80 years for 40 years of service. Well, in verses 11 through 14, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You know what? Moses used to walk in and out of the courts of Pharaoh and never even thought about it. Moses would walk up to Dad and never even think about it. And now, after being in the desert for 40 years, just him, God, and the sheep and the kids, and his wife, the family, he said, who am I? That's important. Now Moses is ready. Now it's not Moses rolling up his sleeves and I can handle this without God. Now it's Moses, you want me to go back there? If you haven't noticed, I'm a shepherd. You know, I tend sheep. Verse 12, he said, certainly I will be with thee. That's the difference. I'll be with thee. Moses learned back there that he was nobody without the Lord. And Moses, verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Yeah, Moses, your credentials aren't much. But you tell them, I am. You tell them, the one true and living God has sent you. Well, Moses, in chapter 4, continues to say, not me, Lord. Verse 1. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken unto the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So God says, I meant to read verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Lord, not me. Don't send me. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made thee, or who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or the deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Moses, I'll put the words in your mouth. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the wisdom. Down to verse 18, and Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said unto Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go, return into Egypt, for all the men that are, for all the men are dead that which sought thy life. Moses took his wife and sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So God said, go now. This begins the 40 years of service to God. We covered the first 80. Again, Exodus chapter 7. Let's go up there and look at a few selected verses. Acts chapter 7. And let's start with, let's see, verse 29, then Moses fled at the saying and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. Now, if you jump up to verse 23, you'll see that he was a full 40 years old when it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So he's 40 years old, and his attempt at righting a wrong caused him to flee Egypt, and he was 40 years old. He left, verse 30, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire in a bush. So now he's 80. And so we see that God's never in a hurry. And we see that even when God seems to be idle, he's not moving as fast as we'd like him to be moving. He's not doing what we'd like to see him doing sometimes, and we think he's just not there. We think he's not working sometimes. We forget he's preparing. He's working. He's getting all the pieces in place. He's preparing the children of Israel to really want to get out of Egypt. He's preparing Moses now to rely on God. He's been working on this moment for 80 years, on this man, to get him ready to, not arrogantly, but in the power of the Lord, walk up to Pharaoh and say, God told me to tell you to let the children of Israel go. And Pharaoh's going to say, who's God? Which God are you talking about? Pharaoh could easily have said. The river God, the moon God, the sun God, the star God. What God are you talking about? I am. The great I am. Well, I don't know that God, and I don't care about him. And Lord willing, we'll see the plagues, and we'll see how that God brought Pharaoh to a place where he knew more. He experienced the power and the wrath of Almighty God. But just remember, God's always working. God's always preparing. God's always getting us to that expected end. Jeremiah 29:11. We're such impatient people. Many times it just seems like he's not moving fast enough for me. But you run ahead of God and you make a mess of things. Moses found that out. You and I will find that out if we do it and when we do it. So again, the unfolding drama of man's redemption. Children of Israel, down to 70 people, well, kind of up to 70 people, go into Egypt and then multiply. Come out a great nation. But there was a while there in Egypt, Pharaoh tried to just wipe them out. Looked like, boy, it's tough. They're never going to get out of there alive. God had other plans. God was working his plan. Soon we'll see them come out of Egypt with a mighty victory. Many, many, many years in the making, that Exodus. May God remind us to just wait on Him. Move at His pace. Run when He runs. Walk when He walks. Stay right with Him. Stay in the center of His will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd guide us. We pray.